So tonight's Bible study will be around a difficult scripture. Actually, I'm beginning with this evening doing a difficult scripture series. I think it's important for us to take the opportunity to learn the Bible, to understand the Bible, especially around scriptures that people have used either in error by mistake or either in error unintentionally. And I think particularly when it comes to understanding the character of God, the nature of God, who God is, how God interacts with mankind, it's important that those scriptures which are contradictory to whom God is, that we clearly understand those scriptures. And I want to point out one tonight, as well as there are a tremendous amount of lessons that we can learn from understanding difficult scriptures. So one of the efforts tonight is to be able to see a little bit more of God's character as we look through this particular difficult scripture, to understand the Bible, to understand that God's word is true. The Bible in its original form with our clear understanding is not contradictory in any way, shape or form. It absolutely is not. And the lessons from the Bible are absolutely incredible. Many people misunderstand both the Old Testament and the New Testament, as well as many people take things intentionally out of context in order to support their own false beliefs. But it is our hope and our prayer that we understand what God's word says as it was written. I also encourage all of us to take the opportunity to listen to Foundation Institute by Dr. Levy. Those have begun. Tonight was the second lesson. Actually, last night posted the second class on Ezekiel. Very tremendous work, a tremendous amount of time that he's putting into that, tremendous learning that we can gain from that. Today's Bible study I found particularly interesting as he talked about cherubim and seraphim and had some wonderful pictorials, depictions of what took place there in Ezekiel around those angelic beings. So do take advantage of that. And since that's going on and that's Dr. Levy can be very fast, can be very intense, very heavy study, I thought that I would try to stay on maybe things a little bit lighter through our Bible studies that we have doing on Thursday evenings. I'm also planning to do Bible studies every other Thursday. You know, we may have Thanksgiving coming up. I'm not sure where that lays in with regard to that. But I'm going to try to have it the every other Thursday during the month going forward. So hopefully that will work out for everyone as well. So why don't we get started with this particular scripture that I have for us this evening to take a look at. The scripture is found over in 1 Chronicles chapter 13, and particularly focusing on verse 9 and 10. It's a very familiar story. The story about Uzzah. The lesson that I have tonight for us, and I think one of the primary lessons from this particular section of scripture, is that it is important to do right things. It's important to do right things, but it is also important, very important, to do things right. That's the theme through this the lesson tonight as we look at this particular incident, recorded history. It's important to do right things, but it's also important to do things right. So let's look at this. All the scriptures that I'll be covering this evening, you can follow with me in your Bibles. You may have a different translation, or you can follow on the screen as well. If you have your Bibles or you have your iPhone or iPad, you might want to follow along as well. Let's read this particular verse here, and then we'll go on and delve into this. It says here in 1 Chronicles chapter 13, beginning in verse 9, 1 Chronicles 13, verse 9, it says, "And when they came to Chidon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and he struck him because he put his hand to the ark, and he died there before the Lord." A very tragic event, a very tragic circumstance. Now I have here, which I'll do when I go through difficult scriptures, I'll have here an explanation of why or how this particular scripture, this particular passage is misunderstood by some. how it's taken out of context or how someone, when they read it and come to a different conclusion other than what God intends from the scripture. And that's the case here with this particular verse. So this verse has often, as you can read there, has often been used to substantiate the belief that the God of the Old Testament was a very mean and unreasonable God, a hard and harsh monster who zaps people dead with little or no justification. This God of the Old Testament is seen as one who is just sitting around waiting for mankind to mess up. And when mankind does mess up, the penalty is swift and it's exact. The penalty is swift and it's exact. Now, this particular verses here, along with many other places in scripture, people used to substantiate that there was this God of the Old Testament who was very, very mean, very, very evil, very, very harsh. But then we have the wonderful Jesus Christ of the New Testament who is so loving, and thank you for Christ. Well, absolutely, Christ is loving. Absolutely, thank you for Christ. But guess what? As we understand, and we'll just touch on a few substantiating scriptures with regard to this, the God of the Old Testament that's interacting here with Uzzah was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the spokesperson of the Old Testament. That's a tremendous thing for people to understand. With that understanding of who Christ is, and it's very, very clear, we'll look at a couple scriptures of who Christ is, that Christ was God, Christ was the God, Christ was the spokesperson of the Old Testament. It causes those particular feelings or those statements or those beliefs that the God of the Old Testament was this harsh, unfeeling, insensitive God. It causes us to call that into question, because almost no one thinks that Jesus Christ in the New Testament was a harsh and evil or just a harsh and very poignant God who is impatient with people. We don't come to that conclusion about Christ. But again, Christ was the God of the Old Testament. It's also important for us to understand that this event, as well as the proper biblical perspective regarding the correction from God, is very important to understand. You know, what does the correction of God look like? When God exacts correction, when Jesus Christ exacts correction, how should we look at that? How should we interpret that? How should we process that? That's very important, not only because it has a reflection on how we process God's interaction in our life when we do things wrong, but it also has a big impact on how we process the events in other people's lives when they do things wrong. You know, if we have the understanding that the way to deal with other people who have difficulty or problems or struggles in their life is with a very heavy hand, and that's how God always deals with things. I mean, he comes down with a hammer, and we don't have a balanced understanding about that. We can begin to be very judgmental and very critical about people and their problems. Certainly, there has to be correction. There was correction in the New Testament. We can go through that over in Corinthians with Paul in the church at Corinth, where very clearly something had to be done. There had to be a correction made because of things that were being done in people's lives and how they were being manifested in the lives of God's people in the church. No different in the Old Testament. Sometimes God's or Christ's punishment is very clear, very direct, very immediate. Sometimes it is different. And we have to understand that and make sure we have those things in context. One of the things that we'll be doing tonight towards the end of this is that I have 9 lessons that I will bring out at the end of this study. 9 lessons that we can glean from this historical event, this scriptural event here having to do with Uzzah. 9 lessons that we can learn. It's important that we study the Bible, learn the Bible, understand the detail of the Bible. But the most important thing is that from it, we get the lessons from it and we learn from it and we change our lives accordingly. Another point that I want to make here, and as we go through this, to keep in mind, and a position statement that I like to make here, Never forget, no matter the situation, that God is love. God is love. When we look at what happened with Uzzah, he touched the cart, God struck him dead, does not change the fact, does not change the truth that God is love. We have to understand that about God, that that is who God is. I want to look at a couple of scriptures with regard to this because it's important when we see God exercising correction, not only in the life of Uzzah, but particularly at the time of the millennium, prior to that, during the millennium, particularly the beginning of it, during the Great Tribulation, many other things that happen will be happening in the future that we have to always understand that God is love. Go with me over to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 8. It says here, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. That is who God is. That is his character. That is his nature. That is his personification. That is who God the Father and Jesus Christ embody. That they are love. That's their character. And because they are love, God is love. When God reacts or passes judgments in ways that we don't understand, we have to always know that God is love. We must always know that God is love. Verse 9, it continues here, in this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation. That word propitiation means to be the forgiveness of sin, to be the mercy seat for mankind. The propitiation for our sins, the forgiveness for our sins, the mercy seat for our sins. It says verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. We ought also to love one another. So that's very important to keep in mind with regard to this particular incident that happened here with Uzzah. There's a lot packed into that particular verse in 1 John 4, 8 to 11. We don't have the time to go through that, but suffice it to say that the most important thing to get from that particular passage is that God is love. That's who he is. That's who he is. Now let's ask a couple of questions as we lean into this. The question might be asked, well, you know, we saw how God dealt with Uzzah in that particular incident. Has God always been love? Maybe Jesus Christ, you know, was the God of the Old Testament. But maybe when Jesus Christ was the God of the Old Testament, he was the mean God. And then when he came to the New Testament, he was the nice God. Now, I say that very facetiously. But let's back that up with scripture. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Hebrews 13, verse 8, a very profound statement. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the fact of the matter is, if God is love today, that means God was love, is love yesterday, he is love today, and he is love tomorrow, and he is love forever. So when Jesus Christ was dealing with us, well, guess what? He was dealing with him from the perspective of love. Now that makes clear that Jesus Christ was the same yesterday and today and forever. He's always been love, but we can have a follow-up question. It begs to ask the question, was Jesus Christ the one who interacted with Uzzah? Was Jesus Christ the one who interacted with Uzzah? Let's look at this particular verse here. Just some substantiation, again, we are just some verses looking at that the fact that God was the spokesperson, God was the Word in the Old Testament. When God is interacting with individuals, talking with individuals there in the Old Testament, it was Jesus Christ. Here in John 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ was God. He was in the beginning with God. He was the Word. He was the spokesperson. Verse 14, again, these are things that we know And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Full of grace and full of truth. Another verse here, you know, putting some blocks around the fact that Jesus Christ was the one who interacted with Uzzah, Jesus Christ, the God of the Old Testament. Look at what it says over here in Romans, Romans chapter 10 and verse 21. Romans chapter 10 and verse 21. It says here in Romans 10, verse 21, but to Israel, he says, all day long, I have stretched out my hand to a disobedient and contrary people. All day long, I have stretched out my hand to a disobedient and contrary people. So this points out the fact that even in the New Testament, Paul recognized that Jesus Christ of the Old Testament actually did stretch out his hand against those who were disobedient, those who were contrary. God corrected those situations. God passed judgment on those situations. Jesus Christ passed judgment on those situations. And it's important for us to understand that, but certainly continue in the context that God is love. Drop down to verse 11, Romans 11, verse 1. I say then, has God cast away his people? Because God stretched out his hand to a disobedient people, has he cast them away because God corrected us? Is that it? Because God corrected Uzzah, even with death? Is that it? It says, then I say, has God cast away his people? Certainly not. For I am also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. According to the election of grace. It is God's grace, even when there is correction, that we lean on. Even when God's correction ends in death of the physical man, there is still grace. There is still love. There is still truth. And we have to keep that in mind. And it was Jesus Christ who executed these things, certainly at the direction, agreement, and will of the Father. And we're very, very thankful for that. So with that as the background, let's go through 1 Corinthians 13. I want to read through the entire section there. 1 Chronicles 13 verses 1 to 8. 1 Chronicles 13 verses 1 to 8. Let's read through this so that we can get the entire context of this particular story here, and that leads up to verse 9 and 10. So let's read this. It says here, beginning in 1 Chronicles chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. It says, then David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said to all the assembly of Israel, if it seems good to you, and if it is of the Lord our God, let us send out to our brethren everywhere who are left in all the land of Israel, and with them to the priests and the Levites who are in their cities and their common lands, that they may gather together to us. Great. This is a wonderful thing that he's doing. And let us bring the ark of our God back to us, for we have not inquired at it since the days of Saul. Then all the assembly said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. Was right in the eyes of all the people. So David, even though he was the leader, even though he was the king, there's a lot of lessons here. He did reach his conclusion based on his advice, advice of the elders, advice of the priests, brought all these people together. Is this the right thing to do? Is this the good thing to do? And they came to the conclusion that this was a good thing to do. And as we read through the story, it absolutely was a good thing to do. It was a right thing to do. So remember the premise that we began with. It is good to do right things. But we also have to keep in mind that we have to do things right. The way we do it is important, along with what we do. Let's continue reading here. Verse 5. So David gathered all Israel together from Shihor to in Egypt, as far as the entrance of Hamath, to bring the Ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. And David and all Israel went up to Bala, to Kirjath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up from there the Ark of God, the Lord, who dwells between the cherubim, where his name is proclaimed. So they carried the Ark of God on a new cart. Of course, you are familiar with this story. There's a problem with that that we'll look at too, and we'll get some lessons from this. So they carried the Ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. Then David and all Israel played music before God with all their might, with singing, on harps, on string instruments, on tambourines, on cymbals, and with trumpets. Wow. Incredible. Wonderful. They're bringing this ark back to Jerusalem. They're celebrating. They have the instruments playing. They're dancing. They're doing all of these things, these right things that they're doing. But have they checked all the boxes? They're doing all things the right way. The right way. This is an example of where we as the children of God have to be very, very careful. Some very powerful things we're going to see here in the mistake that was made. The mistake that was made. Let's continue here. It says here, do right things and do things right. We can look at a situation and decide to do right things, as in bringing the Ark of God back to Jerusalem. But so often in doing right things, we fail to do things right. And there's a huge difference. God wants us to do right things. There's no doubt about that. But God wants us to do things right, to carry them out according to His commandments. According to His commandments. This is a very important lesson, a very important teaching that we have to make sure we understand. And we can take this particular lesson and we can lay it, for instance, over the Sabbath day. It's important that we do right things with regard to the Sabbath day, that we keep God's Sabbath holy. We show up to church, or we show up in front of the television at the right time, etc. But we can end up sliding away from doing all things the right way. We can become lackadaisical. We can become disobedient. And we can think that because we're doing right things, that God is pleased, even when we're not doing things the right way. We'll have a couple examples of that as we continue. God wants us to do things right, but He also wants us to do the right things. David, in all of the pomp, all of the circumstance surrounding bringing the ark back to Jerusalem, didn't focus on doing things right. It wasn't his focus, and it ended up being a tragic mistake. The intent was good. The music was wonderful. The dancing was exceptional. The celebration was divine, but was he careful at doing things right? Let's continue here as we began here in verse 9. Then we come down to verse 9. And when they came to Chidon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark, for the ox stumbled. There are three things here that I want to look at. I want to look at this threshing floor. We want to look at the fact that he put out his hand to hold the ark. We want to also look at the fact that the oxen stumbled. Now, these things aren't in sequence here in this verse. The sequence is the threshing floor, the ox stumbled, and Uzzah put out his hand. But each of these are very important. Each of these are very important to understand. They're significant in understanding things that we can layer over our life with regard to doing things right, and some of the traps of human nature that we can be subject to. This is where our human intuition, our human logic, and human character can lead us to not see the wrong that we do. We say we did all these right things, but we fail to do things right. And when something tragic happens, there's a tendency not only for us to get angry, but there's a tendency sometimes for us to then put the blame on God. Put the blame on God. So first of all, as we look at this recorded history, there are some things that we don't want to overlook. First thing I want to look at is this threshing floor. This threshing floor. Why is this threshing floor important in this particular passage? What is a threshing floor? You can see the source that I use here, just a really good summary. It says a threshing floor is a smooth, flat surface that was used to process in the process of harvesting grain. Before there was machinery, farmers used a threshing floor to separate the grain from the chaff. The harvested produce would be spread over the threshing floor, and then the animals, the cattle or oxen, would be led over it to crush it and break the sheaves apart with their hooves. At times, people use sticks to beat the sheaves apart. The grain would be separated from the husk or the chaff and then tossed into the air so that the wind could blow the chaff away, leaving only the good edible grain. This was called winnowing. This was called winnowing. So what's the deal here about this threshing floor? Why is this threshing floor so important in this particular event? What can we learn about this threshing floor? Some very important things to learn here. First of all, the threshing floor is symbolic of the judgment of God in the Bible. You see, it was on the threshing floor, where the separation from wheat and chaff took place, where the separation of good and evil took place, where the separation from right and wrong took place. But this threshing floor was smooth. It was smooth. And it is my belief that it is smooth in this particular example to make sure that we understand and we can see that God's judgment is fair, God's judgment is pure, God's judgment is right. It was a smooth threshing floor. The focus was not on the floor. Well, you know, here he is carrying the ox, carrying the accoutrements, the ark on a cart, and he's carrying it over cobblestones, or he's carrying it over bricks and boulders. No wonder it's, no. It's on a smooth surface. The surface was not the problem. The surface was not the problem. That's very important to understand. That threshing floor, because it was smooth, allow us to realize it wasn't a surface problem. It was a disobedience problem. It was a doing all things the way God commanded them to be done, which was the problem, not the floor. We can't blame it on the floor. In this case, since they had come to a very smooth area, a very smooth surface, it's very likely that Chidon's threshing floor, there may have been a tendency to move a little faster in this smooth area. There may have been a tendency to celebrate more vigorously, to assume everything was going perfectly, instead of proceeding cautiously as they possibly would have done if they were going over cobblestones, regardless of the fact that what they were doing was breaking God's command on how the ark was to be carried. You see, this threshing floor removed any other excuse that what they were doing was wrong. What they were doing was wrong. It doesn't say here also that God caused the oxen to stumble. It doesn't say here that God caused the ox to stumble. So they're going through this threshing floor, this smooth area, and the ox stumbled. Let's talk a little bit about this stumbling ox. The ox stumbled. When the ox stumbled, it caught Uzzah and the others by surprise. But an ox stumbling is a perfectly natural occurrence. It could have been someone's instrument that fell. It could have been the ox falling asleep and stumbling. Who knows? But an ox stumbling is a very natural occurrence. It's not unusual by any means. The terrain was the terrain. But by disobedience, this difficulty of the ox stumbling became a disaster. And I have this statement here that we can think about. How often do we find ourselves going along in life, doing right things, enjoying still waters, assuming that all is well, and become a bit lackadaisical and disobedient when it comes to doing everything the way God says we should do it, as according to our knowledge? We become lackadaisical. We become disobedient in some areas of our life. Even though we're doing right things, there's a tendency not to do things right. And then suddenly a mishap comes, something comes up, some sort of problem comes up, a natural occurrence happens that may bring a particular difficulty, but because we're not doing things the way God instructs, a greater disaster occurs. And that is what happened here. They were doing right things. They're going along on the smooth surface. A natural occurrence occurs. And what should have been, shouldn't even have happened if they were doing things the way God had instructed them. A simple natural occurrence occurs. And then disaster. Disaster and judgment by God. Because they were not doing things the way God had asked them to do. And then what happens after this, in this particular incident, God's punishment. It says, then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and he struck him because he put his hand to the ark, and he died there before the Lord. Tragic, sad, should not have occurred, should not have been the case. Now, was God mean? Was God evil? Was Jesus Christ, rendering this punishment unjustly? Or was Uzzah and David wrong for their disobedience? Was the knowledge there? Was there a clear expectation that the knowledge should have been there? There was a clear expectation. There was clear understanding. And Uzzah should have known, and David should have known, as well as Ahio should have known, as well as all the priests should have known. But they were so focused on doing right things, they weren't focused on doing all things right. All things right. God's command on carrying the ark was clear. Let's look at these particular scriptures. God's command was clear. Numbers chapter 4, verse 15. Numbers 4, verse 15. It says here, and when Aaron and his sons have finished covering the sanctuary and all the furnishings of the sanctuary, when the camp is set to go, then the sons of Kohath shall come and carry them. But they shall not touch any holy thing lest they die. These are the things in the tabernacle of meeting, which the sons of Kohath are to carry. God is clear. Numbers 7, verses 6 to 9. Numbers 7, verse 6 to 9. So Moses took the cart and the oxen and gave them to the Levites. Two carts and four oxen he gave to the sons of Gershon, according to their service. Four carts and eight oxen he gave to the sons of Merari, according to their service, under the authority of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest. But to the sons of Kohath, he gave none. He didn't give them an ox. He didn't give them a cart. He wanted to make sure that there's no confusion here on how the holy things were to be carried. It says, because theirs was the service of holy things, which they carried on their shoulders. There was a way to do things the right way. There was a way to do things the right way. Not only is it important to do things right, it's important to do things the right way. Do right things, but do things right. Do them the right way. The instruction by God, do not carry the ark, do not touch the ark unless one dies, was clearly understood. How the ark was to be carried, put the poles to it, put it up on your shoulders, have men there with brains on each corner of that ark with those poles, able to carry it, keep it from stumbling, all sorts of things they can do when men are carrying it. But they didn't do that. They placed it on a new cart. Now, what about this error? What about this error that Uzzah did in touching the ark? This error in not following God's command. Uzzah erred. It says here, this is a parallel account over in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 6. And when they came to Nikon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. It says, then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the ark. His error. Now, it's important to understand that this was a mistake. This word error here in the Hebrew is sha'al, S-H-A-L. It means fault or error. It can mean sin, but primarily it means error, accidental wrongdoing, transgression of God's will, a rash act, an irreverent act, imprudent action, an indiscretion. It was an error, but the error should not have taken place. So this wasn't a case where Uzzah said, look, I'm going to grab the ark and I'm going to carry it with my hands myself. I'm going to put my hands all over it. I'm going to lift it up and look inside. No. He was focused on doing right things, but he forgot about doing things right, the right way. And then when something happened, he erred. And that error cost him his life and is recorded in history for us. Now, what happens when those types of things occur? The natural occurrence for us, as it was for David, was to get angry. We get angry. It says here in verse 11, 1 Chronicles chapter 13, continuing down to verse 11. It says, and David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. Therefore, the place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. In David's zeal to do right things, he failed to do things right. The ark should have been carried on the shoulders of the Levites, not on a new cart. David may have thought that by putting it on a new cart instead of an old cart, that he was taking all the necessary precautions he could to get to Jerusalem even faster. Isn't that how we are sometimes? Instead of doing things all the way as God says, keep his Sabbath day holy from sunset to sunset. Well, we can come up with all sorts of excuses, all sorts of shortcuts, all sorts of things we think of in our mind to improve upon what God told us to do. Well, you know what? Well, I'll go to church since church is early and Saturday is a quiet day at work. I'll go to work before the Sabbath day ends. I actually can make double on the Sabbath because I'm working on a weekend and I can give a 30%. 40% or 50% what I make to God, even though I'm working on his Sabbath day. I've done some right things. I've attended God's Sabbath, but I'm not doing everything right. David did right things. Uzzah did right things. They didn't do everything the right way. whether it was to get there quicker, whether it thought that the celebration could be more vigorous, that all the priests could be involved with it. You know, no one had to be encumbered with carrying the ark, whatever the case might have been. He disobeyed God's law. Uzzah disobeyed God's law. A natural occurrence happened. He touched the ark, and God executed judgment. God executed judgment. So we can get angry when those things happen. But David disobeyed God. That last sentence there, David disobeyed God, even though he was focused on doing right things. The lesson became poignantly clear that as he crossed that smooth area, not a bumpy area, not a rocky area, as he was crossing that smooth area, that he was absolutely wrong. And it became very, very clear. You see, he could have come up with an excuse that, well, it was because we were on rough terrain. No, he was on the smooth threshing floor when this occurred. Very, very sad. Now, another possible reason for David's failed judgment. Using a cart, the Israelites may have been following the example of the pagan Philistines who had returned the ark to Israel that way. And when the Philistines returned the ark on a cart, and you can go back and read this story back over in 1 Samuel 6, I have a couple verses here that I pulled out. They may have thought, the Israelites may have thought, well, that's a great way to move the ark. You know, forget about this whole pole thing. Just put it on the cart, strap it down good, and let the ox carry it. You know, we can do that as well. We can make those bad judgments as well. It says here in 1 Samuel 6, verse 1 to 2, now the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months, and the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying, what shall we do with the ark of the Lord? Tell us how we should send it to its place. Verse 7 of 1 Samuel 6, now therefore make a new cart. Take 2 milk cows, which have never been yoked, hitch it to the cows, to the cart, and take the calves home away from them. Then take the ark of the Lord, set it on it, on the cart, and put the articles of gold which you have returned to him as a trespass offering in the chest beside it, and send it away and let it go. And you can go back and read the story. The ark went its way, it made the correct turn, etc. Didn't fall off, didn't stumble, you know, crush, etc. The only ones who were killed as a result of that were the folks who had lifted up and looked inside of it, and thousands of people were killed. So David knew, don't do that. You know, nobody's going to be looking inside of it. That was clearly understood, but he made an error in how he was transporting that ark. He made a tremendous error. And that error comes with many, many lessons for us. Many, many lessons for us. There are multiple lessons that we can learn from this problem. The smooth threshing floor, the fact that David was doing a right thing and wanting to bring the ark back to Jerusalem, that he was doing it with the celebration, with pomp and circumstance. He had consulted his men, his leaders. He had consulted the priests, gone through all of these things, decided that it was the right thing to do. But he didn't think things through. He didn't consult God and make sure that everything that he was doing, including doing it the right way, was being done. So was Jesus Christ being unmerciful in executing exactly what he said he would do? No. No. This wasn't the act of an evil and unrighteous God. This is a recorded history of Uzzah, who made a terrible mistake, and tremendous lessons for us. So let's look at some of these lessons as we begin to wrap this up. Let's look at these 9 lessons that I have for you with regard to this, that we can think about with regard to this difficult scripture, not real difficult scripture. We'll look at some ones that are more difficult than this, but tremendous lessons that we can learn. Lesson number 1. Just because wrong seems to work out for someone else does not mean it will work out for you. God holds you and me to a higher standard, and God, as God held the Israelites to a higher standard. We cannot go back and look at what other people do in this world without the knowledge and understanding of God's law and expect us to follow their erred ways and think they're going to work out for us. The Philistines did what they did according to the knowledge that they had, according to the circumstance that you know, was surrounding them. That was not the model that David and Uzzah in Ohio should have been following, and the priest should have been following. We can't do that. We can't follow that type of logic. Lesson number two, don't take our cues for right and wrong from observing the world and how we perceive blessings and cursings from God in their life. We must endeavor to understand what Scripture directs us to do in spite of how God may choose to operate with others. Don't take our cues for right and wrong from observing the world. We need to take our understanding, our cues, our knowledge of doing right and wrong from God's Word. That has to be our standard. We can gain lessons, we can gain insight, but we must always go back to God's Word to make sure that we are doing things the way God tells us to do them. Another lesson here. Let's continue reading here in 1 Chronicles 15. Let's jump ahead, 1 Chronicles 15. David did learn after Uzzah's death. David learned after Uzzah's death how the ark should be transported. He went back and learned that lesson. He had to figure out, what did I do wrong? It says here in 1 Chronicles 15, verse 12, he said to them, "You are the heads of the fathers, the houses of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord to it, of God, to the place that I have prepared for it. For because you did not do it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us because we did not consult him about the proper order." Verse 14, so the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring the ark of the Lord of Israel, and the children of the Levites bore the ark on their shoulders by its poles, as Moses had commanded, according to the word of the Lord. God's word was there. It was available for them to look into, to understand. But then in an anxiousness to do right things, it didn't take the time to examine whether or not this was the right way to do them. And then when a natural occurrence occurred, suddenly a mishap became a disaster. Let's look at some additional lessons. Lesson number three. Before exuberantly marching forward in our vanity or in true righteousness to do right things, we should consult God's word to make sure we have an understanding of how to do things right. Consult God's word. Lesson four, if or when tragedy or problem or difficulty strikes, we should take the time to consult God's word, consult the Lord. We should take the time to look at our lives and examine whether things are out of order. That's what it said back there in 1 Chronicles 15, verse 13. Because we did not consult him about the proper order, about the proper sequence. You see, it's not only important as we mature in God's way of life to do right things. There is an order. There is a proper way to doing things. There's a proper sequence. There's a proper approach. Now, we don't have to become paranoid about those things, but we have to make sure that we're exact, that we think about those things, that we consult God's word, that we can consult the ministry about how to do things in their proper order, in the proper way. It's very important that we do so. Continue with the lessons. Lesson number five, if we make an error or we sin, God expects us to make the correction. That's what David did. He doesn't want us to give up doing right things. He wants us to do right things and to do them the right way. There can be a tendency when correction comes or tragedy strikes or whatever the case might be, particularly when sometimes we find out that it's our fault or we had a part to play in it, that, you know, there can be a tendency to just throw up our hands and say, well, forget it. God does not want us to do that. No, so often this life is not only a matter of us doing things wrong that causes problems for ourselves. We can do things wrong that causes problems for others as well, particularly individuals who are in charge or people who are in positions of leadership. You know, whether it's husbands, the head of the house, whether it's Uzzah in Ohio, who are the head of carrying the ark. In positions of leadership, we have to be very careful because the things that we do, the decisions that we make around the order and the sequence of doing right things, taking everything into consideration, making sure that we know everything and how they should be done. When we don't do that, it can bring not only tragedy upon ourselves, but it can bring hurt and tragedy upon others. Huge responsibility. But that's a part of us learning to become kings and priests of God. Let's continue here. Lesson number 6. If you have knowledge, or once you have knowledge that something is wrong, we have an obligation to do what is right and to do it in the right way. To do otherwise is to take chances and being subject to God's righteousness or his unwanted correction. We need to both do the right things and we must do things right. Once we have that knowledge, once we have that understanding, as David did, once he realized that he had done things wrong, he corrected it. He corrected it. Yes, Uzzah was dead. Yes, a tragedy. Can you imagine right in the middle of their celebration, right in this probably very beautiful area, smooth area, you know, you can imagine the trumpets and the tambourines and the celebration and the drums and then lightning or however God decided to strike him down. In my mind, I see it as a major event. It wasn't any question that this came from God. And just took their breath away. But even in those particular cases where a tragedy strikes, we have to go back to the Father. God is love. And I've kept that on the screen up there in the corner intentionally throughout all these slides. God is love. Because even when tragedy strikes, whether it's natural disaster or whether it's a result of things that we do, it does not change who God is. And God wants us to get back up, to make the correction. And we have an obligation to move forward and do things the right way. First Chronicles 15, verse 25. They brought the ark with joy. They carried all the way through. It says here in 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 25, so David, the elders, and the captains over thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord from the house of Obed-Edom with joy. And so it was when God helped the Levites who bore the ark of the covenant to the Lord that they offered 7 bulls and 7 rams. When God helped the Levites. Couple of wonderful lessons here. Lesson number 7, don't stray from doing things as God directs. Life can offer us those smooth threshing floors where we begin to take liberty with disobedience to God's law. God wants us to learn. God is there to help us. The smooth threshing floor, those smooth times that we can experience in life. Yes, we should enjoy those times. Yes, we should celebrate when life is smooth, when life is going well. But when life is smooth and life is going well, we have to make sure that we are still doing right things and that we are doing things the right way. Lesson number 8, Lesson number 8, we must truly want to do right things and to do them the right way, no matter if it takes longer to reach our destination. If it takes longer, it takes longer. And lesson number 9, the final lesson, God wants to help us. God wants to help us. We must allow God to help us. The way that we put ourselves in a position for God to help us is to consistently and humbly inquire at His word, and God will help us to bear whatever load we must carry in order to reach the destination. I don't know what the logic was for them to decide to not let the Levites, the Kohathites, carry the burden of the ark. I don't know what the reason was, but God is there to help us. God is there to help us to carry the burden, whether it's over a very smooth terrain, or whether it's over cobblestones, or whether it's over very difficult and challenging terrain. God is there to help us carry the load. And we have to trust in Him to do that. We have to look to Him to do that. The principal lesson here, we must do exactly as God commands, not use our own reasoning or water down His instructions. Also, we must deeply respect anything God has made holy. That includes the Sabbath day, the holy days, tithes, offering, marriage covenant, etc., etc. How we treat our wives, how our wives treat husbands, all of those things are in scripture, not only to do things right, but to do the right things. And not only to do the right things, but to also to do things right. It's the combination of both. And we have to make sure that we remember that. Uzzah is dead. Principal lesson from Uzzah. Uzzah is dead now, but will be resurrected and given His chance for salvation. His death teaches us that we must do right things, even when instructions may come from those over us. We have the obligation ourselves to do things right and not disobey God's commands. That's an important lesson here as well. David may have said, carry it this way. Uzzah and the priests knew differently. They needed to do things the way God said do them. Truly, God knows best and treats us all according to His love, and prayerfully according to His grace. So again, this difficult scripture series, 1 Chronicles 13, 9 to 7, Uzzah, it's important to do right things, but it's also important to do things right. To do things right. Well, family, that's the Bible study for this evening. God is not just an evil, harsh. He's not an evil, harsh God. God is love. That's how He operates. That's who He is. That's how God the Father and Jesus Christ have always operated. We have to make sure, as we are on this road towards salvation, carrying the loads, carrying the burdens, carrying the problems that we carry, that we always focus not only on doing right things, but we focus on doing things the right way. Have a wonderful rest of the week. Have a blessed Sabbath day. I look forward to seeing those who are able to be there in person. Very much look forward to speaking to all of those who are able to connect with us online. Have a wonderful evening, wonderful Sabbath day to come, and look forward to speaking with you all in a couple of days. Good night.